wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. What will we do in heaven? To some, my subject is very strange. What will we do in heaven? Do? Yes, do. I know some folks hate work so much that they think of heaven as some haven for loafers. Be not deceived. Our activity in heaven will be ceaseless. There will be no night there, for none need rest. The thrilling joy, the excitement of new conquests and discoveries shall be as ceaseless as the light of heaven which shall never go out. Our previous message showed what our Lord Jesus Christ told us about heaven. We shall now learn from him what we will do there. One clear statement of his tells it all. In praying to his Father, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. We will be where he is, in heaven, in his very presence. And this one thing we shall do, we shall behold his glory. How long will that take? Eternity, the great forever, shall not be long enough. For as it shall never end, so the exciting revelation of new undiscovered glories in our Lord Jesus Christ shall never end. First, we shall behold his glory in creation. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And in the description of heaven in the Revelation, the praise goes to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as the one who created all things. As the redeemed of the Lord, behold his glory in creation. The word says there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. From planet to planet, we shall explore the vast bounds of the universe with eyes, our own eyes, yet changed and focused for the vast universe of our God. All the stars are different, for our Lord delights in variety. No leaf of a tree is alike. As we keep seeing the glory of our Lord Jesus in his great creation and realize that all is his handiwork, fresh outbursts of praise shall rise to him as the one who created all things, and for his pleasure they are and were created. Are created? Does that mean that he will create something before our eyes to show us his creative glories? I doubt not that this too we shall see. What would some of our college professors and all wise students and even some of our preachers do in heaven when they deride the Lord as our creator and try to explain the things made themselves by their theory of evolution while they search for the missing links and try to imagine what the original cell was like? No evolutionist will be in heaven. You'll have to junk that hypothesis of error on earth if you will go to heaven, and you'll have to bow at the feet of Jesus as the man who has all power in heaven and earth, power to create and power to save. Second, in heaven we shall behold the glory of our Lord Jesus in his word, the Holy Bible. On the road to Emmaus, our resurrected Lord took the Holy Scriptures and made the hearts of those two disciples burn within them as he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Heaven will be one eternal Bible study, and every jot and tittle of God's Word will be radiant with its reflection of the glory of our Lord and King as he opens our understanding of that eternal book. This is readily believed by those who now find their delight in meditating by day and by night in God's Word. But what about others? In some homes, the Bible is only used for religious arguments. Some ignore God's Word. Others make fun of it, while others, if you pull out a Bible, they run as fast as if you pulled a gun on them. If such people were in heaven, they would want to get out. Neighbor, when one is born again, he loves the Bible and hungers to learn more of Christ through its pages. If you don't love God's word on earth, you'll never be in heaven. Third, in heaven we shall behold the glory of our Lord in his very person. We shall see in his presence. We shall be in his presence beholding his moral glories, his divine glories, and his acquired glories. We shall see his face, his hands, and his feet. That lovely man in the glory we shall adore. What hands are like his? Those hands that touched the leper, embraced the little children, broke the loaves to feed the multitude, and then were spiked to Calvary's cross so that they could be uplifted in blessing upon his own. What feet are like his? They never went astray in forbidden paths. Feet that walked the waves of the sea and yet marched the lonely road to Calvary. The wicked drove their nails into them, but repentant sinners wept at those same blessed feet. And in eternity, the redeemed of the Lord will meet at Jesus' feet to behold his glory. What face is like his face? As an evangelist, I have labored in the ministry of the gospel for 60 years by day and by night, using every means possible to me to spread the gospel of Christ over this world of sinners. I have put forth all that I am and all that I have. After all this, I testify that for me to receive one smile of his lovely face will more than repay me for it all. And then to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and with his own pierced hands to put those crowns on my unworthy head. This reward is worth a thousand of lives of service. And his mouth is most sweet, for with it he spoke such words of tenderness as, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Truly there's no end to the personal glories of our blessed Lord Jesus, and to behold his glories will make us realize in that day that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there pleasures forevermore. Amen. His acquired glory shall be revealed in the wonders of his mysterious death and his triumphant resurrection. Crowds gathered during our Lord's ministry to see his miracles, but when he went to the cross, they turned against him and crucified him. Only a few loved him and clung to him. Neighbor, do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you delight in his presence? Do you count to be with Christ far better than anything in this world? If not, heaven will be torment to you, for the glory of the Lord will fill that holy place. Only those who love the Lord Jesus will be in heaven, not those hypocrites who curse with the world and then sing in the choir, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You can't love Jesus and live like a devil. Fourth, in heaven we shall see his glories in his judgments, as he is the judge of all. When we shall see the wicked dead of all ages, as he summons them to his great white throne. It will be breathtaking to behold as he commands, and their souls are sent out of hell, and their bodies assembled from the seas, the graves, and the elements, and then to see his precision as each one must answer for his own sins, the justice of his decrees leaving all without an objection, as angels, devils, and men cry out, "Holy and righteous are his judgments." And then his final sentence that shall consign the wicked to that lake of fire, of which they were so long warned, and yet they mocked. Yes, and when he shall judge us, his people, that same justice shall prevail, as he crowns and rewards only those who have earned such recognition. For among his dear people he has no favorites, and to his word there are no exceptions. In all his judgment we shall witness, we shall feel, we shall behold his glory, the glory of the Son of God, to whom his Father has given all the work of judgment. Fifth, in heaven we shall behold the glory of the Lord in his grace. He said, "Him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." And as he presents us with exceeding joy and claims us as his own, the glory of his grace to such miserable sinners as he found us far from God in that horrible pit. This will so overwhelm us that we shall sing of his wondrous grace unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But those who try to be saved by their works and not by God's grace, to go to heaven on their own merits and not the glories of Christ, to enter the pearly gates parading their goodness instead of by the blood of Jesus, all such could never be in heaven. Only those who know the grace of God in saving them and motivating them to live for God shall be there. Grace all the way, from the gutter to the glory, from the pit to the pearly palaces. Grace, grace, wondrous grace. Now, neighbor, how long will all this take? How long to explore the whole universe and to see its smallest perfections? How long to fathom the wonders of God's exhaustless word? How long to behold the personal virtues and glories of that one whose name is wonderful, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ? How long to see his holy and righteous judgments on devils and angels, on saints and sinners, yes, on all created intelligence? How long to retrace the wonders of his grace to each one of his redeemed people? A legion of eternities would not suffice, nor would they allow one dull moment. Neighbor, soon this preacher will be experiencing what I'm now telling you. I will be with my blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom I owe all that I am or ever will be, to be like him and to behold his glory forever. Will you be there? If not, why not? Can it be that you will have chosen instead to spend eternity with the devil in hellfire? I plead with you to cancel your contract with that deceiver of your soul and turn from your sins and to surrender to Jesus Christ for him to be your Lord, to obey him, and your Savior, to trust in him alone for salvation now and forever. And then you too will be in heaven with one great thing to do, to be with Jesus and to behold his glory forever and ever. Meet me there. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
I am amazed that God would ever save.